Hello, and welcome to episode 39 of The Winning Agenda. As you may have noticed, we have new intro music, and that was the track Pinot Noir by the artist Eyeliner from their new album By Now, available on bandwagon.com, and I strongly suggest you check it out. Tonight, our panelists include runner-up for both the 2014 Melbourne Regionals and the 2014 Australian Nationals, Liam Prasad.
Hey there, how are we doing?
Three-time Magic the Gathering Pro Tour competitor and 2015 Regionals champion, Wolfie Horrig.
Hi.
2014 Australian National Champion and 2014 World's Top 16 competitor, Jesse Marshall.
Hey, everyone.
2014 World's competitor and the best dressed man in Netrunner, Hollis Echo.
Good to be back.
And I'm Brian Holland, 2014 Australian National's Top 8 competitor. Very excited for tonight, guys, but before we get underway...
We're now on those podcasts.
Yeah.
Brian's actually been storing that one up all week, everyone.
I have, yeah. And I actually don't even have anything to get to before we get to underway. So let's start with Forced. It's a Anarch program, 3 cost, 1 memory, icebreaker, AI. It has 2 strength and its 2 abilities are trash a card from your grip, break ice subroutine, and trash a card from your grip plus 2 strength. What do we think, Jesse?
It's pretty powerful. The ability to break any subroutine is always a good one, and it doesn't have an expiry or tax you as much as something like Crypsis Overmind does. Overmind has a limited amount of use. Crypsis taxes you a lot in terms of your clicks. This taxes you in a very different way, cards in your hand. Anarch's got a lot of new ways to draw cards. There's also a lot of ways that you can splash in to draw cards. I'm not sure if there's enough support that's efficient enough and low enough influence to make it worth building your deck around this, but it's a really high power card, and it's going to be one that I'm sure we'll see at some tournament tables soon.
And just before we go too deep on it, I wanted to ask, does anyone know if it's been confirmed or not that this ability works with Armand Geistwalker?
It doesn't. It doesn't have the cost.
That's what I thought, it's not the actual rubbish bin symbol, right? Yeah, because there was a lot of speak online about how it could work well with him, but obviously that is not the case.
Definitely a good one for an FAQ, though, considering they're literally 2 cards apart in terms of release. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The next card is Street Peddler. It's a 0-cost Anarch resource connection, CD. When you install Street Peddler, host the top 3 cards of your stack face down on Street Peddler. You may look at these cards at any time. Trash, install 1 card hosted on Street Peddler, lowering its install cost by 1. Shieldsy, will you be playing this?
Yeah, I really love this card. I've been looking forward to it ever since we put that aggro max list together. It's very dredgy. It likes to get rid of cards from its deck. I feel like one of the holes in the Anarch faction for a while has been the hole that's needed to be filled by Clone Ship, the ability to put parasites into play at instant speed. And just having Street Peddler in your deck and having that ability will cover that up quite a bit. And you know, it also is 1 influence and works with Armand Geist, so we could be testing it out there as well. It's click efficient in the early game. It's 0 cost, so it works in the early game as well. It lets you install at instant speed in the early game. If you've got parasites in your deck and you want to break through a paper wall, you want to break through a quandary on turn 1, it's exactly what you want. I love it.
I think it's worth saying on this that Express Delivery saw a lot of play in top tier criminal decks when criminals already had access to some card selection. Anarch has very limited access to card selection, and as you rightly point out, Shieldsy, the ability to put parasites into play at instant speed is really powerful. So this combines those two things. While it is limited to only being able to install cards, so you can't use it with events, I still think it's good enough card selection that it'll see a lot of play.
Yeah, and I know I spoke about parasite a lot there, but a lot of the time as well, you do just want your mimics to come down or your credits to come down when you want them to, because those credits in the early game are so costly to use.
I think that if you're playing a card like Street Peddler, also, even as Jesse pointed out, it doesn't work with events, so I think your deck is going to be very like resource centric, so that you get the biggest benefit off this kind of card. It gives you additional value from things like Armitage Code Busting and from Liberated Accounts.
The first criminal card is an identity, Armand Geistwalker, Tech Lord. He has 1 link, Identity Gmod. Whenever you use a trash ability, draw 1 card. He's a 45-15. Now, I've seen a couple of lists floating around about this guy, but he seems to be a very sort of top-down deck design. And in Criminal, we are always comparing Criminal identities to Andromeda. So, Wilfie, what do you think?
Yeah, I just don't really understand where this identity is going to fit in. The ability to draw cards over the course of the game is good, but it's not as good as the ability to have more cards in your opening hand, because that basically front-loads the benefit. If the optimal criminal deck that wanted to do a certain thing already had enough cards with trash abilities that this was better than Andromeda, this because it drew you significantly more cards, then possibly it could be good if there were enough cards that trash themselves that were good independently of this card's ability, like, that you would want to put in normal, like, Lila or Andromeda deck, but the fact that you have to play cards which aren't as powerful as the cards that you want to be playing in order to make this guy useful when we already have an identity that provides a very similar effect but is more generally useful and more efficient as well, makes me skeptical unless they print some really efficient cards that incidentally help this identity in the future.
There are some strategies that include cards like Sacrificial Construct and Decoy and a lot of other sort of fringe playable cards that do have that trash ability, which have seen some play in the past. It's never really been tier one play, though. I don't think that this ability is going to push those sort of strategies over the edge, or those little packages over the edge, into being playable. The ability to draw more than one card or to utilize your ID's ability more than one time per turn is very powerful. So I think that's the only caveat I'd put on that analysis, is that you can use this multiple times on your own turn, drawing multiple cards per turn. But then most of the things that will have a trash ability will require you to spend a click to install them at some point. So, yeah, there's a bit of a trade-off there.
I think it's also worth saying that if your whole deck is basically just a bunch of cards that are cycling themselves, it kind of doesn't really do anything. You can sort of sit there drawing a bunch of cards, but if they're just more cards that you install the trash to draw more cards, it doesn't really progress your game plan. Shilzy?
Yeah, like the cards that we use together in a package kind of need to be... They need to have the same strategy together, I guess. But there is a criminal strategy that does use quite a lot of trash effects, and it's one centered around a combination of Crescentis, same old thing, and Account Siphon. And one of the issues I think those fast, proactive criminal styles have, I think, is that in criminal, accessing lots of cards can often be quite difficult. They're in faction card drawers, Mr. Lee, which offers selection rather than quantity, and the same goes with say Express Delivery. It's offering selection rather than quantity. So I think that the ability to access quite a few cards, four or five cards, over the course of that middle of the game is quite powerful. And I think, like Wilfie was saying, the downside of it's not front loaded, but at the same time, having cards that are like events or runs at the point in the game where you would use them coming in supply, and not needing to stop to use clicks to continue having pressure, to continue having gas and action just to keep applying pressure. It's a hole I've found in like aggressive Andromeda decks, and it's a hole I've found in aggressive Gabriel Santiago decks. You do just have to stop and draw cards. So having the ability to use Crescentis to cantrip, or same old thing to siphon to cantrip, I think that's very powerful. And it might just be enough to make those proactive criminal decks that are about resource denial give them just a new direction.
I think all those comments are really valid. I think what you said before, Brian, is really important, though, not in terms of what you were saying, Shilzy, but just in terms of some people look at this card and think, oh, I can use any card that has a trash ability to cycle itself, and that's a lot less powerful in Netrunner than it is in other card games, Magic, for instance, where cycling is a really good mechanic. In Netrunner, you've got an action that allows you to just spend an action to draw a card naturally, which allows you essentially to be ahead or neutral on just paying. If you have to pay to install something, just being able to use a natural action puts you ahead if you just draw another card. But even if it's free, you're installing something, trashing it, maybe getting some small marginal benefit, but all you're doing is getting another card off the top of your stack that you could have drawn anyway.
The next card is Drive-By. It's a criminal event, double, zero cost. Expose one card installed in a remote server. Trash that card at no cost if it is an asset or upgrade.
I really think that this card, initially when you look at it, it seems like it sort of meta smashes like a popular deck like Replicating Perfection. It looks like it has a lot of use for a deck like Butcher Shop, where they play like a heavy amount of asset econ or maybe a Sand down to tax you. The inherent problem I have with a card like Drive-By is that like the runner or the corp has the opportunity to sort of play around this depending on like their matchup. If I know that I'm playing Criminal, for example, and I'm playing RP, then I'm going to wait probably before I have the agenda ready to score, throw my Caprice down with the agenda, and then res the Caprice immediately so there's no opportunity for Drive-By to get used. In that same respect, if the deck this is in, like if it's a criminal deck and they're using security testing, you kind of have to play with the concept that you're playing in a meta where you can already use your security testings to hit multiple times and gain credits from that. So the question is a double click expose and trash equal to a double run and maybe a trash, where you can gain credits in addition to spending two clicks?
Yeah, I'm not sure that it's quite good, especially even when you're saying the most relevant matchup could be those RP matchups. But even then, if the player's expecting it, they can just res their Caprice or their Sundews or their anything else in, you know, before the player has the opportunity to do it. Because, you know, they're not really playing games here. Like, you know that those two cards in that server are either an Ash and a Caprice or an Agenda, and they're not really fooling around trying to fool you, so...
It's exactly that. They can just turn the face up and you can never use the drive-by. Well, when we first saw this card spoiled, the first card that came to mind was the Sand Sand, right?
And I think the meta's changed a bit since then.
Quite a bit. And I think... In the future, I do wanna address that question. Is it worth trashing the Sand Sand? Because it's gone back and forth quite a few times now. We could definitely actually cover it in a deep topic.
The next card is Forger. It's a criminal console. Costs one. It gives you +1 link. Trash. Avoid or remove one tag. Good to note here that it's actually only one influence. So I think it's the lowest influence console we've seen. And it also doesn't give you memory like all the other consoles have up until this point.
Yeah, I think the fact that it doesn't give you memory is pretty bad. Most decks are going to want extra memory. Obviously, it's giving you access to Cloud Breakers. So it's going to be a crucial piece if there's going to be an Armand Geist deck that utilizes the Cloud Breakers that are disposable. This is going to be a key part of it, because once you get it into play, it's effectively giving you near infinite memory. So in that regard, in that very specific instance, I think it'll be really good. And it also, by the by, gives you some resilience to Scorched Earth, particularly the Sea Source variant, not so much mid-season. Yeah, I think in that regard, it's a really good, really narrow console that's supporting one particular archetype and doing so really efficiently and quite powerfully.
The next card is Shiv. It's a zero-cost criminal program, icebreaker, killer, cloud. If you have at least 2 link, the memory cost of Shiv is 0, even if it is not installed. Shiv has +1 strength for each installed icebreaker, and trash, break up to 3 sentry subroutines. Its intrinsic strength is 0. Wilfie, you've had a bit of an opinion about the Cloud Breakers. Why don't you share it with us?
Well, not specifically the Cloud Breakers, but whatever people are calling these, the breaking and entering suite, I think. And I think that the main problem with cards like this is that they're good when you can turn some resource you don't have efficiently into some resource that you want. They're good when you can turn some resource which you have in abundance into some other resource which you want. So, for example, if there was an icebreaker that gained strength based on your resources, for example, then having lots of resources fuels your icebreaker, which lets you break ice, which... and the resources give you economy to do so, or for example, Darwin, which lets you turn your cards which give you virus counters into ways to break ice efficiently. And this card doesn't really do that, because icebreakers have one function to break ice. They might break different types of ice, but essentially they all break ice. And so needing to have lots of icebreakers, of which their sole purpose is to break ice, to gain the ability to break ice a bit more efficiently, but having a card which doesn't do anything else doesn't seem very good to me.
The next card is Gang Sign. It's a one-cost criminal resource, virtual. Whenever the corpse scores an agenda, access one card from HQ. It's worth noting that these stack. Shields you.
Yeah, it's a neat little effect. It's quite easy to see coming. You know, it'll be face up. It's an onboard trick. But it can definitely help you close a lot of those windows where maybe you're ahead on 4, you know, God forbid 5 points, and they want to score out of hand or they want to score off the board. That could lose them the game right there, you know? Yeah, just another one of those small little cards that just help you close scoring windows here and there, maybe not by pressuring them with your breakers or pressuring them with your economy, but pressuring them with the ability to win.
I think it's also worth noting that this card looks really good on paper, but it's probably only going to trigger at most 4 times in a game, usually on average, maybe 3 or 4 times.
And if that fourth trigger is after they win, then yeah, it won't trigger very often. But I think the point is that when it does trigger, if there is the threat that you could score, especially if you have an HQ interface, this will trigger an HQ interface. When they score and you can access their grip, you get to see what's in there. You get to take in the agendas that are there, which mean that they can only really score when they have no agendas in hand.
What Shilzy said is right. I think that HQ interface is the best chance the card has to see play, because if your opponent scores and you have multiple HQ interfaces in play, they really do have to worry that there's a very high chance that if they have more agendas in hand, then you'll be able to score them. And so I think it is reasonably strong to force the corp to score, be able to score agendas only if it's their last agenda but in hand, but the setup time is what might doom this combo.
this card's power lies in the fact, as you guys have identified, that you can make the corp rely on R&D draws. If they are clearing those agendas out of HQ for fear of this effect, then they're going to have to rely on drawing the rest of their agendas from R&D. And the problem this card's going to have is that the question is, do you compromise your ability to reliably get into R&D and threaten that if you're playing cards like this in your deck? And that's really, I think, what it's going to come down to.
The next card is Moritos Gang Member. It's a zero-cost criminal resource connection. When you install Moritos Gang Member, the corp must de-res a card. When Moritos Gang Member is uninstalled, the corp may res a card, ignoring the cost, and it has the ability trash, draw one card. Hollis, will you be putting this in one of your decks?
I don't think so. I mean, with Emergency Shutdown, with it being so good and it being something that's definitely more permanent, even with requiring you to run HQ, I mean, this card basically allows the corp to kind of game the plan here. I mean, I think best case scenario, you'll end up in a situation where you're able to make a run, force the corp to res, immediately de-res, make the run again. But I mean, we're talking a three clicks worth of actions just to make sure that one run's successful. And then if you decide to use the card immediately so they don't game it and maybe like play a toll booth and then res that for free when this card is removed from play, well, I mean, the benefit isn't that great. The corp can like really get a huge benefit out of it if it's not played like so carefully. So I just don't see the reason I would ever slide it over something like E-Shutdown.
This is one of those cards I would be putting into that Crescentis same old thing, trash, draw, fellow, what's his name?
Armand.
Yeah. It looks like it's from an anime. The way I think you want to play this is, just like Hollis was saying, be aggressive, force a res, and then slam it down. You've gained that information, you've put on some economic pressure, and you've taken that back away, which is all about critical mass. It works very well with your siphon, same old thing, Crescentis plan, and your E-Shutdown plan. But on top of that, when you do pressure them with your testings and force them to res their ice here, there, and everywhere, and when you do threaten them with economic superiority, meaning that they can't really res their assets, or you can just trash them when they do res them, they'll reach a point where every card will basically be resed. And that's when you can just draw a card, right? That's when it's fine to just draw a card. Or when the ice they have in play is somewhere you're never going to go again. If the ability for them to res a card is effectively inconsequential, then this card cycles. And it's exactly when you need an extra card, when you're in that position of the game that you're running out of gas, when you're effectively falling behind. So I think this card's actually, it does all the things it needs to do. It's just kind of hard to identify what that is.
It also draws you two cards with Armand as well.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah, so it feeds you quite a lot of a boost when the corpse resing a card is inconsequential, when it's a pad campaign or when it's a card on the archives or whatever.
First Chaper card we're talking about is Chameleon. It's a 2-cost icebreaker. It costs 1 memory, strength 3. When you install Chameleon, name Sentry, Codegate, or Barrier. Add Chameleon to your grip when your turn ends. 1 credit, break subroutine of the named subtype. Jesse.
This card was in the System Crash draft set that was debuted at Worlds last year. And in that draft set also was Scheherazade, the card that gives you... It's a daemon, 0-cost anarch, gives you a credit whenever you install a card on it. So that synergizes really well with this because you're going to be wanting to install it every turn and it reduces the cost. And if you're in Kate and you're playing both of those cards, it effectively makes this cost 0 to install. The problem with it is that it's a fixed strength breaker. It's worse than Yogg at strength 3, costing 1 to break per subroutine. It's as good as Mimic, and it's worse than Kuroda / Morningstar. So I'm not sure it really fills many gaps, and it also requires you to commit when you install it as to what you want to be breaking, which gives it limited versatility in some senses. I know Shaper has a lot of ways to install breakers at instant speed when the ice has already been rezzed, but the fact that this then becomes temporary and you've blown a clone chip or a self-modifying code to install it at that point, and then you're having to bring it back to your hand at the end of the turn, it just feels very clunky to me for not a lot of upside compared to the existing options that are permanent.
The next Shaper card we're talking about is an interesting one. It's a Hyperdriver. It's a 1-cost 3-memory program. When your turn begins, you may remove Hyperdriver from the game and gain 3 clicks. Now, this is an effect we've only really seen in Anarch before. However, it's the first time we've seen this kind of effect that's not paired with something like Brain Damage. Conversely, it is the drawback, I'm assuming, is the 3 memory. Hollis, what do you think?
I'm actually really not sure to think. I'd love to get everyone else's opinion on this card. At first glance, it seems like gaining 3 clicks is a very powerful effect. But the decks that I would slot this in seem to be more combo-y as opposed to being, I guess, efficient. But then again, I mean, click economy would be technically the best in the game. So what do you guys think?
Well, I think anyone who's ever tried to install a self-modifying code maybe in the mid-game knows how harrowing more than one memory can be. So three is pretty tight. Wilfie, what do you think?
First, I just want to say that All-Nighter has been played in the past, which you didn't mention, which is a card which does a similar thing, but much less efficient than this. I think that there's definitely room for this card to be playable, but you really have to build your whole deck around it, in the sense that you really need to, one, be able to manage the three memory drawback, usually by only installing programs after you've sacrificed this or removed this from the game, and be able to utilize the one big turn to get a huge effect. Usually decks like this in the past have functioned with medium, but you can also maybe mass install a lot of programs or do something strange. But I think that definitely this card is at the right power level to be played.
I guess in general, I really feel like the click is most powerful in Shaper. And so this being in Shaper, in particular, this being slottable into Kate, maybe on turn one, you can play the Hyperdriver over the next few turns or even on the next turn, just get rid of it. Seven clicks in a turn. Use that turn to just get way, way, way ahead. Set everything up that you need to. Draw with your contacts three or four times and just deploy the rig. You know, you can have some big starts with Kate there and it comes down for zero. So yeah, I really like it in that regard.
The first Corp card in the underway is quite possibly the strangest card I've ever seen in Netrunner. It's Test Ground. It's a zero-cost Haspyroid asset. It's two influence, two to trash. Test Ground can be advanced, trash. Derez one card for each advancement token on Test Ground. Jesse, you a fan?
Yeah, I mean, this is extremely powerful. It shuts down things like Archer, you know, other expensive ice like Heimdall, Tollbooth. It can really, really hurt the Corp.
Oh, sorry, Jesse. Jesse, this is a Corp.
Oh, right. No, yeah, in all seriousness, I have no idea. This card seems really, really fucking awful. The only situation we were discussing this the other day, Brian, and I think I was saying to you, I cannot see any conceivable way in which the Corp would want to use a card like this, and you said, oh, I guess you could reset your campaigns. Yeah, that is true. You could reset your Adonis or your Eve, but that requires you to have essentially some sort of scoring window at exactly the right time to coincide with your safely protected Adonis or Eve server, which seems like so much to ask, despite the fact you have to slot this into your deck in the first
agenda,
place.
Right?
Yeah, you'd rather score an agenda, you'd rather have other cards in your deck that help you win. This seems completely corner case with the current card pool, but there may be something that it supports in the future. I don't know.
Look, if this card didn't require you to advance it, if it just had, you know, it was still zero to res, two to trash, and you could trash it to de-res one card, I think it would be better and still terrible.
Yeah, traps that don't punish the runner at all have not historically proved to be very good, and this one doesn't even benefit the Corp as much as something like Grindle Refinery, so yeah, I don't know.
I'm going to be very, very hopeful that there is a damn use for this eventually, because I have no idea why this would ever be used. None.
Have you heard the card Hellion Alpha Test?
I don't even... What is that card? I don't... What is
that? Yeah, don't worry. The next card is Defective Brain Chips. It's a 2-cost Haspyroid operation, current, 1 influence. It has the current text, and it reads, the first time the runner takes brain damage each turn, he or she takes 1 additional brain damage. Seems like an okay effect. Shielzy, what do you think?
Again, it's just one of those effects that's all about critical mass, right? Like, in the HB Identity, gives them maximum hand size of 4. With an agenda that offers a brain damage, having this thing gives them 2 brain damage. Maybe you hit them with Ryan Knight. That's 3, followed up with some neural EMPs. Fantastic. You know, it's all about that critical mass. And so if you're in that strategy, it's going to be really easy to justify putting this in your deck. Yeah, it's going to be very playable. If that strategy is one that is good. You know, if that strategy is one that can actually take a lot of the game.
When we talked about Cybernetics Division a few episodes ago, I think Jesse mentioned that there's still quite a few support cards missing. This is probably one of them to go in the deck. I still don't think the deck is quite there to have that dedicated brain damage deck like we have with Jinteki PE or Argus.
The problem is, yeah, I think as we said with Cybernetics Division, brain damage is currently really rare, and so rare that you can't put a card in your deck that doesn't do anything except interact on that axis, and not even to give them brain damage, but to give them more brain damage when you're already giving them brain damage. Especially it being a current is a little strange, because you can't control as much when it fires as much as you can with an asset, I think. Although that's maybe not correct, but I think that in general it's harder to, because you have to play this and then hope that somewhere in the window when it's alive they take a brain damage. Essentially it signals to them that you're going to try and deal them brain damage, and they can try and prevent this through whatever means they can. It kind of doesn't really help you with your main game plan, even if your main game plan is to deal them brain damage, just because it only works when you already have cards which successfully are giving them brain damage.
Jinteki Personal Evolution has kind of not been as prominent in the meta, but I feel like with, you know, I feel like with Cerebral Overrider, and maybe with the recent ruling we've had for thing for interactions with cards like Tori Hanzo and Cortex Lock, that kind of force a break, even though you may already have all MU. Basically, you it might be a little easier now to land a single brain damage as opposed to multiples. And just adding, allowing this card to kind of build on that and just saying you take one brain, which is now as good as two, in a matchup versus Jinteki Personal Evolution, that could just completely mean the entire game for them. So, and being one influence probably helps you getting splashed as well.
Yeah, like I've kind of always been of the mind that the first brain damage was completely irrelevant, and the second was very, very good, because at that point you could always take the Scorched. And it's worth noting defective brain chips is one influence. So if we do see, just like you were saying there, Hollis, if we do see a Tori Hanzo list with Hell, Hokkaido Grid or whatever, if we do see, you know, it doesn't necessarily need to be in Cybernetics Division for this card to see play, because in Cybernetics Division, the first brain damage reduces their hand size to 3, at which point you can just Scorch them anyway. So, like, defective brain chips makes brain damage in every other faction much, much, much better, because it's the second brain damage.
First Jinteki card is Allele Repression. It's a 2-cost asset, 2 to trash, 3 influence. Allele Repression can be advanced. Trash. Swap one card in HQ with one card in Archives for each advancement token on Allele Repression. Hollis, do you like it?
It definitely wins an award for Jinteki Mind Games. I mean, this is similar to me to Toshiyuku, I don't remember, whichever that card is that lets you replace it with something from your hand. I mean, this to me is on that same level. Yeah, you can advance this and kind of bluff it out as maybe an agenda or maybe something else that that'll actually do damage. I don't know. I think this is definitely going to add to the power level of Personal Evolution. I can't say if it's a card really worth slotting over something like a Ronin or just simply to having other cards to Mushin.
Trash effects that don't require click are pretty good, and refilling your hand with the most relevant cards in Archives I think has proven to be quite good. Crick's seen a lot of play. I know it installs it straight away, but just recur effects in general are quite powerful. People are even splashing interns into Replicating Perfection for a while because the assets are so important. So yeah, bringing stuff back to HQ means that you can get a broader selection of things from Archives more safely, so this might even be better in some respects.
The thing is though, in RP, you really only set up advanced assets or advanced agendas at a point where they couldn't really threaten it. And I think most runners will recognize that it's just going to be an agenda and they won't run. So in that sense, given that they won't be running because, you know, it's a Caprice Nisei server, interns is probably just better in RP. You also need them to believe that they are in a winning position and that you need to score for some reason. But at the same time, it's actually a very, very unique circumstance that a runner will see your server with a Caprice and feel like they could maybe get in and then run it, because they also need to feel like if they do get in, then that will put them ahead in some way. Or they need to feel like you're in a position where you have to make a risky score because they're ahead in resources or whatever. And that just doesn't really happen against RP.
I think it's also worth noting that what Jesse was saying about recurring cards from HQ is probably a better strategy than what I think most people on the internet are talking about, which is like filling your hands with snares before they go into a legwork or something like that. I think what Jesse was saying is far more efficient use of this card.
Yeah, I don't think this card will actually pull back many assets or many ice or things like that. That's what Interns is for.
The next card is one that's getting quite a lot of attention at the moment. It's Marcus Batty. He is a 0-cost, 3-influence Jinteki upgrade, Sysop Psy. He is 1 to trash. He has the ability Trash. You initiate a Psy game. If the corp wins the Psy game, you resolve one subroutine on a resed piece of ice protecting the server. Use this ability only during a run on this server. I'm sort of still in two minds about this card, but you guys seem to have already know what's up.
Yeah, it's certainly like Caprice Light, almost enough like Ash that, I mean, Ash just makes them run twice, right? So we're happy to play a fourth Ash. Like, I can certainly see the saving to influence in an RP list.
I think this card is really strong because it's kind of kind of like Caprice, but a lot more versatile in that if there's only one ice on the server, or if the server is not that strongly protected such that they can just keep on running through that one ice, eventually get your Caprice, this can still have some effect if the ice has a has an effect apart from ending the run, like has a trash program or deal damage or anything like that. And so I think that ability is really strong. Is really a bit more versatile than Caprice in that sense that it doesn't necessarily need to be protecting anything. You can just play it with, say, Cortex Lock or a Neural Cortana or anything like that just on its own in the hope that you'll be able to kill them with it, or at least make them suffer a huge resource disadvantage. And so I think that that angle makes it a bit more versatile than Caprice and definitely very strong.
The first NBN card is Exposé. It's a 2-cost, 2-to-trash asset. Exposé can be advanced. Trash, remove 1 bad publicity for each advancement token on Exposé.
I mean, it's in a faction that really doesn't, at least right now, generate a heavy amount of bad publicity. I mean, I think the cards that you have in faction that do that would be things like Muckraker. You'll find an occasional NBN deck splashing a Grim for that benefit. I think the 2 influence kind of prevents it from being splashed into other corp factions, just because most every other faction I think has some way to deal with bad pub. Knowing there's really not a way to generate bad publicity in NBN, and the fact that this card really can't be splashed, I just don't see it being used that much in faction here.
I mean, there's one of these assets that can be advanced that you then trash to do an effect for each faction in this set, and I think NBN, out of all of them, if they have the opportunity to go and still advance, they want to be scoring something. Yeah. The next card is Pachinko. It's a 1-cost 4-strength ice barrier in NBN. It has 2 subroutines and they both read end the run if the runner is tagged. Shilzy.
It's very cheap. It's very cheap, hey. 1-to-res, 4-strength. Certainly one of the problems with NBN up to this point, just like Hollis was saying, the cards like Muckraker and maybe like Grim that you maybe want to play if you wanted like more middle strength ice, or if you wanted to go for a tagging strategy, they do come with downsides. And I think that Pachinko and Exposé actually kind of work together in that regard, offering you a way to get around, both get around that bad pub and give you a superior ice wall, or a superior wall of static, or actually a very cheap bastion when they are tagged. So, because we tried that shoot for the moon route, right? Which res them all and saved you money resing the ice when they were tagged. But the runner just wasn't tagged enough of the time, because you need to tag them with the ice. They weren't tagged enough of the time at opportune moments where you could actually save money using shoot for the moon. So the tags were just never really relevant, and it wasn't really an economy. Whereas this is the other way around. This is ice that's very cheap, but only works if they're tagged. And I think that's going to be much better for NBN.
The next Wayland card is Contract Killer. It's a 2-cost, 3-to-trash asset. It's 4 influence. It's a hostile asset. Contract Killer can be advanced. If there are at least 2 advancement tokens on Contract Killer, it gains trash. It gains click, trash, trash a connection, or do 2 meat damage. So this is similar to a Ronin-type effect. Wilfie, what do you think?
Yeah, it's kind of a mini Ronin. Ronin had the advantage of being in the faction with Mushin No Shin, which is, those 2 cards are basically best friends. And this card, I think, between the 4 influence cost and the fact that it's not Jinteki, is a lot worse on that scale. I mean, doing 2 meat damage in general is really only useful when you can threaten a critical amount of meat damage, and Wayland already has a card that does that that sort of does that in Posted Bounty. Is that what the card's called? The 3-for-1?
Yeah,
in Posted Bounty, where you can have something sit there for 2 turns with 2 advancement counters, and the runner has to be seriously worried about whether you're going to kill them with meat damage by utilizing it. And this card kind of does a similar thing, but is a lot less efficient and really just doesn't have as much of an upside as Posted Bounty does.
Yeah, so I think the side we're going to look at here is trashing a connection. And there are already a few effects that let you do things like that, like Snatch and Grab, And I think snatch and grab may be more efficient and more of a threat enough of the time, especially in Wayland. As Wolfie said, it's four influence. It's probably not going to see play outside of Wayland. So if you play snatch and grab there and force them to trash a connection or potentially suffer a scorched, that's effectively trashing a connection anyway. So contract killer may just be a bit superfluous in both of these regards.
The last card for the underway is Underway Grid. It's a zero cost, three to trash neutral upgrade region. Ice protecting the server cannot be bypassed. Cards in and protecting the server cannot be exposed. Limit one region per server. Not since Ziabatsu Loyalty have we seen an effect this powerful.
Yeah, no, fuck that. Listen, this card, I think that, yeah, real talk, I mean, like, there's only so many cards that are going to be, you know, give you that bypass effect, right? We got Faint, which doesn't really allow you to access. You only simply get the successful run benefit. You've got Femme Fatale, which, you know, bypasses one piece of ice, and then you have your inside jobs. The best case scenario, I think, that you could ever use Underway Grid would be that scenario where you're versus a criminal deck, and you are, basically, you have a single toll booth and your agenda or something like that behind it, and you simply want to force them to encounter the ice. You don't want them to be able just to get in for free. The thing is that most people and most decks are made in such a way to where simply throwing a smaller piece of ice in front of whatever big piece of ice you have is usually not that bad of an effect. And if you're playing any kind of rush deck, you're probably not caring about the inside job anyway, right? You're rushing. You don't really care if the inside job or not. You're playing hoping they actually just don't have it. So this card's use is marginal. It's not as useful as something like Breaker Bay Grid, that is such a great econ shift for you. It can boost all your assets. So this is very meh to me. I don't know. I don't think so.
I mean, I've been wondering quite a lot, and I think I was going to put it to you guys that we should talk about at some point, how strong expose effects are becoming, especially in a metagame that's so tailored towards slow corp decks, especially with large servers. In particular, slow corp decks with large servers in which there are not Caprice Niseis, I think expose effects can be quite good in, and Underway Grid might fill that kind of hole there. It's possible, I think, that our metagame just isn't utilizing expose effects in the same way. I personally really like Silhouette as a slow criminal because she has expose effects that effectively allow her to bypass an entire server that could just have a pad campaign in it. So Underway Grid, you know, if expose effects were more popular, I think it would be quite good. It's probably just not the right metagame for it, though. As you say, Hollis, it's probably just a bit more marginal because people don't play that way.
That's all we have time for tonight on The Winning Agenda. If you guys want to get in contact with us, you can do so via email at thewinningagenda@gmail.com. You can hit us up on Twitter at Winning Agenda, and our like page on Facebook is The Winning Agenda. And if you want to support us, you want to support this two-bit operation, you can jump onto inksplaymats.com, type The Winning Agenda into the search bar, and pick yourself up a nice Winning Agenda playmat. A little bit of that goes to us and just helps us out a little bit, which is great.
Actually, since I got my new rig, this is a 64-bit operation. Thank you.
Yeah, I'd like to think we have more than two bits.
I've embarrassed myself. Okay. Thanks so much for listening, guys. We'll see you soon. Bye.
Take it easy.
Bye.
Thanks for listening.